It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer.
Hello again, Irish fans. Welcome back to Dome and Domer, the oldest Notre Dame podcast on the planet. I'm Mike Sullivan, Notre Dame class of 1990, and joining me for a discussion of what's going to happen with when the Irish take on the Hurricanes is my 1990 classmate, Dillon Hall resident, Mike Brammer. Ed Jordanic from Dillon Hall, also 1989 graduate, Mike Coffey, class of 91. And Mike, you got to forgive me. I don't know where, really don't know, don't care where you lived. I know it wasn't Dillon, so I don't think it really matters. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. We're glad you're listening and watching. And today we're going to make some predictions about how the game's going to play out a little bit. We're going to introduce the segment on Thursdays that we're going to call Pick Six. So I'm going to throw out a few rough predictions about how the game will unfold and ask you guys to offer your commentary. Do you agree, disagree? Is it significant, not significant? So let's start with a few concepts on offense. Here's number one. A Notre Dame running back is going to rush for over 100 yards. Bram, give me your thoughts on that.
Obviously, if we're saying that Notre Dame's going to win, I'm going to agree with that. That's going to be a key to the game. I do think that maybe even total rushing yards might need to be 175. So with that, I'm going to assume one of those two guys is going to be over 100. I would love for it to be Jeremiah Love, because I think he needs this. He's hit home runs in, I think, when I say home runs, I mean runs of over like 50 yards. I think he had four of them last year throughout the season, none bigger than the playoff run of 98 yards against IU. But we're going to need him to bust one, quite honestly. I think it's going to be a key critical point for us to carry the game. And, you know, rushing's going to take all that kind of pressure off of an inexperienced CJ Carr. So I would 100% agree with that.
Okay, Eddie Jordana, do you agree we're going to have a back over 100 yards? And if so, which back?
I'll say no, but I'll say that Love and Price both get over 60 or 70, just to be different than Brammer. I think these things, you know, there might be an injury. There might be something else that happens. But I'll just say that that Notre Dame will rush for over 150 yards, but they won't have a single back that goes over 100.
Yeah, I think 150 is kind of my magic number for team rushing. I think if we're going to have success to get to 150, that means offensive line is showing some dominance, which is a good sign for the passing game. And so I would agree with that. Mike Coffey, do you have an Irish back over the century mark? And if so, who?
I am going to agree with Brammer and say, yes, I think Jeremiah Love's going to do it. As has been pointed out, Notre Dame needs a strong running game on Sunday to kind of take the pressure off Carr. Not necessarily that Carr needs the pressure taken off him, but every little bit helps. Carr does not have the mobility of a Riley Leonard. So I think Jeremiah Love's going to be asked to do a little bit more of the work. And I think the only thing keeping him from 100 yards is if Notre Dame gets up big early and they try to rotate in Price and Williams and stuff just to keep him from getting worn out.
Yeah, I truly, it could be either of the backs the way I see it. Brammer, your point, we do have home run hitters, both backs last year. You know, we had a lot of big, long runs from scrimmage. And so, I'm kind of looking to see that as well. So I do think we're going to have a back over 100 yards. I couldn't say which one it's going to be, but I do have a feeling we're going to hit some home runs, have some of those long runs. Okay, now let's talk about, of course, the quarterback situation. And give me your reaction on this. Ed Jordanic, CJ Carr will have more combined touchdowns rushing and passing than he will turnovers. What do you think?
I'll say yes on that. I'll say, actually, I'm going to say it's going to be a push. I think he's going to have a couple turnovers and a couple touchdowns.
I agree with that. So don't even ask me, because I was going to say exactly that.
A strip sack, a pick, and two touchdown passes.
Okay. Coffee, what are your thoughts?
That certainly sounds tempting to me. I think the only thing that's going to, well, I think most of his touchdowns are going to come through the air, if only because, A, they don't want to wear him out by trying to run sneaks close to the line. And just from the last question, we have so many high-quality running backs who can score on the ground. There's no reason for Carr to sneak it. So the key is going to be whether Carr can take care of the ball. And I think two scores and two turnovers sounds about right to me.
Yeah, you know, the only point I would add to that is what's going to be kind of interesting is how those turnovers occur, right? So I think that it's one thing if Carr throws deep into coverage and, you know, somebody makes a great pick. It's another thing where he doesn't sense the rush coming and the ball gets knocked out of his hands. That's the one concern I have with Carr is how does he adjust to the speed of the game? Because it's a huge adjustment the first time that you take the field as a college football quarterback. It's totally different than it was in high school, just as it is in the NFL the first time you take that snap. There's a huge difference in the speed of the game. And I think one of the keys to this game is going to be Carr's ability to sense the rush so that he can step to one direction or the other and release the football. To me, I'm going to be keeping an eye on that just in terms of him not getting the ball knocked out of his hand or him getting hit and he's totally not seeing it and coughs the ball up.
Yeah. Not all turnovers are created equal for sure. And, to me, the amount of turnovers, if he has one, two, whatever, is not as important as the timing and the nature of those turnovers, right? Are they, he throws a deep ball that gets picked off, you know, inside the 20. Okay, you know, that's a punt. You can live with that versus coughing it up on a strip sack and, you know, something like that. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, Mike Coffey, I think maybe we're not, of course, we've not seen CJ Carr in a live action, you know, setting, right? So it's a bit of an unknown. But from what you read and hear about his athleticism and skill set, I don't think he's a immobile pocket passer. And I think Mike Denbrock's offense is always predicated on some design quarterback runs and zone reads and things of that nature. So I wouldn't at all be surprised. And it's so helpful in the red zone to have that. I wouldn't at all be surprised if CJ Carr scores with his legs. All right, but let's continue on the quarterbacks. Here's the next prediction, if you will, that I'd like you guys to comment on. Kenny Minchie will see meaningful snaps during the game. Mike Brammer.
Well, I mean, define meaningful, but
Not mop-up duty. The game is on the line, unresolved. Minchie's in with the number one.
I think he's going to get a couple snaps, and I think it may be inside the 15-yard line. I would not be surprised at all if we kind of run him in a package where we've got three scripted plays that we're going to run no matter what. I could easily see that happen, and I really could. And I think it would be early, too. I think it would be like in the first quarter, second quarter. If Minchie doesn't get in by the middle of the second quarter, I don't think he's getting in, is my gut instinct. Because they may just allow for that time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I kind of feel like CJ Carr's athleticism is kind of on par with Brady Quinn. They kind of seem, you know, like not a good athlete, you know, can do something with his legs, but not sort of not a Riley Leonard, et cetera. But I'm going to say that Kenny Minchie does not play, period.
All right, Mike Coffey.
I agree with Bram. Denbrock has certain situations in mind that there will be the Minchie packages and he'll come in there. And I think short yardage inside the 20, those kind of situations where a truly mobile quarterback really puts a lot of pressure on the defense. If you're going to see him, that's where you're going to see him.
Okay. Let's look at a few ideas on the defensive side of things. I'm going to say Miami's not going to have more than 250 yards of total offense. Ed Jordanic. So we're going to talk defense here, and I want you to focus on defensive driving as you're giving us your analysis on defense, because you're obviously behind the wheel here. So by all means, all right, 10-2, let's keep your eyes on the road.
Yeah, trying to avoid the Malachi crunch for those of a certain vintage who remember.
I see what you did there.
Pinky Tuscadero. I think that's about right. I think, you know, if they go over 250, I think it's going to be some mop up yardage, you know, some, I hate the term pretty bad defense, but you know, some fourth quarter yards, that don't determine the outcome of the game. But I think 250 is a good number. I'll take the under on that.
Rammer.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on it, but not like by a lot. I mean, I think it could be 275. Carson Beck is just too good of a quarterback, unless there's something going on with injuries or anything like that, where he's not totally 100%. He did sit out the spring, but I just think that he's such a good quarterback that it might be Ed might be right. They may be coming back in the fourth quarter, and that's where he picks up, you know, a lot of yards. I just think he's too good of a quarterback to not get it there, and that might be the way that he does it. But I'll say over, but not by a lot.
Can I freelance a little bit? I don't think Minshew's going to play, but I don't think Carson Beck's going to finish the game either.
Oh, I thought about putting that out there, Ed.
I got to say, I'd agree with Brammer. I think 250 to me sounds a little bit low given how decent a quarterback Beck is, but his kryptonite is pressure. And looking at the depth of Notre Dame's defensive line, I mean, they've got 8 to 10 bodies they can just keep throwing at him. Doesn't matter if it's hot, doesn't matter if it's raining. They got people they can keep fresh. They can keep the pressure on Beck. And that's just like begging for turnovers and bad decisions. At least the previous versions of them have been. I don't see anything that leads me to believe that's going to change dramatically in one offseason.
Yeah, you know, 250 is kind of a bit of an arbitrary number. I think I fully expect our defense to control the line of scrimmage, control the flow of the game. They might get some junk time yards and points, as you guys indicated. But, you know, whether it's 250, 290, 310, I think Notre Dame's defense controls the game. Okay.
I don't think Beck is not going to finish, just to clarify with Brammer, because of performance. I think it's going to be because of
injury.
Health.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. You might be right about that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good point.
So our defense, I agree, was going to put up a lot of pressure, be very physical. So here's the next point to comment on. Defense will combine for 6 sacks and turnovers combined. So let's put it at 5.5 as the over under. Sacks and turnovers combined, I'm going with over 5.5.
I'm going to agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that, because I just think that if our defensive line is as good as advertised, and I mean, when's the last time that we've heard coaching staff at Notre Dame talking about the defensive line as much as they have? This could be the best defensive line we've had in probably 20 years. I can't even think of when's the last time we've been this good. And I think the guys that are going to make a difference in terms of sacks will be the two ends. I think Traore and Young, each of them will probably have 1 to 2 sacks each. I'm really expecting them to cause havoc on Beck. So I'm going to agree with that. I think it is over 5.5.
Yeah, you know, havoc is the key word. You know, they track havoc plays. And even if, yeah, I do think we'll get to, 6+. But even if we don't, I think the disruptive havoc plays, I think this defense is just gets after
it.
Yeah,
I think they're for real.
Yep. Mike Coffey.
I would take the over also. I think, just as I said before, Beck's propensity to be pressured into bad decisions just leaves him wide open for sacks and interceptions and things like that. I think Notre Dame's defense is just too good for the combined sacks and turnovers to be less than 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking the under on that. I think that's a lot. Miami has a veteran offensive line. They're Joe Moore Award contenders. I think that we're not talking about pressures. We're not talking about havoc. We're not talking about turnovers. We're talking about actual get them to the ground sacks.
No, I was saying combination of sacks and turnovers.
Oh, sacks and turnovers. Yeah, I'm still going to take the under because I don't think we'll get him to the ground, more than two or three times because he'll either, he'll get rid of the ball. And if that's the case, I think, three turnovers, four turnovers, that's a pretty big stretch. So I'm going to say five total.
Okay.
Which puts me under 1.5.
No, that's great. I think the it's really more importantly is the havoc plays and the hurries and the pressures. But over the course of the game, as Coffey alluded to, over the course of the game, I think that wears on you a little bit. And I do think we're, I'm feeling like four sacks, two turnovers, that kind of thing. Can we win if we don't hit that number? Ed, you're still predicting an Irish win. And so defensively, what is the key for you? If we're not going to get six sacks, turnovers combined, but we still win, why is it going to play out that way?
I think that's because the red zone defense stiffens, right? That we, we forced them to kick field goals. So I don't want to jump ahead to predict a score, but I think that if we put them in, if we hold them on third down, inside the 25, that's how we're going to win the football game.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about special teams for a minute. I'm going to just throw a general statement out there. Notre Dame special teams will set up a score for us, right? And you could imagine a lot of ways in which that could happen. But I think our special teams is going to directly create an opportunity the offense cashes in on. Bram, how do you see special teams being a factor in the game?
I would agree with that. I think there's going to be at least one. And I think it's safe to say that just because that's the nature of who we've been. You look at last year, and there's game after game after game of us doing something. Now, a lot of that is film that you're watching, and we've been that good where we've identified stuff. So there's not a whole lot of film that these guys can watch, but I think they've got they'll have at least some sort of wrinkle to bring to the table that's going to do that, that's going to actually put us in that. So I would agree with that. I think definitely we're going to have something that'll put us in position for a turnover inside their 40. I'm totally expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a long return sets up the offense. It could be a great coverage, a punt that pins them deep and gets us the ball back. Something along those lines. Our special teams unit overall, so good. I heard a great story the other night from a guy that had been in a session with Marty Biagi, who was breaking down film for a group of Notre Dame alums. And it's not even the wrinkles. It's the fundamentals and how they drill their technique. They're just so fundamentally sound and so good. And those things, along with the talent that we can run out there, really create the advantage. Okay, anybody else on special teams before we move into game predictions?
No, I think I think you guys are correct. I mean, there's just too much effort put in on special teams at Notre Dame that it's not going to come out as a positive for us. I mean, we've seen it in the last couple of seasons. Few mistakes, lots of benefits. There's going to be a weird trick play in there that Biagi's been reading the rule book and knows that, like, it's a second full moon of the month that you're allowed to line somebody 10 yards back or some crazy stuff like that. But if there's an advantage to be found, he's going to find it. I think they will.
Okay.
I don't know what to expect out of the place kicker. I think the punter is adequate, but I think the place kicker, I think Mike Brammer alluded to this last time. I think that place kickers are funny, right? What I really liked about Jeter and the guy before him, Grupke, or the guy or whatever his name was, Officer Krupke, I can't remember what his name was, but it's incredible to me that he ended up, I don't know if he still kicks for the Saints, but I did not see him as an NFL kicker when I first saw him. But I think it's going to be a pressurized environment. It's going to be loud. It's going to be on the road. And to me, that's what matters. Like, 40 and in, make your kicks, everything, if he does that, then he's the guy.
Wait,
Okay, Andrew, let's talk about putting all this together and let's look at predictions for a final score. And Bram, we'll start with you because you're wearing the green jerseys for good luck. So what are you seeing?
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Notre Dame wins this, but I think it's going to be a real tight football game. And I'm going to say, we're going to be down at half, but we're going to storm back and win it 27-24.
Eddie, what do you got?
Oh man, I have no idea what to expect. I'll go with the Freeman factor. And I'll say that that Notre Dame wins 23-10.
All right, Mike Coffey, put it on the line.
Well, my pick in our contest is 31-20 Notre Dame, and I see no reason to go away from that. I think the defense is going to score at least once, and Miami's going to get to 20 late in the game when the third stringers are playing in the fourth quarter.
Okay, an optimistic group for the most part. Bram with the closest game so far. I'm going to go with 27-14. I think we get a late score to give us a little breathing room to get us to the final margin, 27-14. But I think it's going to be a tight, uncomfortable game throughout, and we wear them down with our depth. And the Freeman factor, and the Irish come out on top. So now I'm not going to watch the game live because that's just way too stressful, but I'll be sure to watch the replay of about seven times if we win. So we're going to wrap it up there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, the oldest Notre Dame football podcast on the planet. For Mike Brammer, Ed Jordanic, and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.